So, you want a bedtime story, kitten? Okay. A fairy tale. Once upon a time, within a world carpeted in endless green meadows under the finest of blue skies, lives a princess of unparalleled beauty and grace. Her eyes shine with all the intensity of the finest summer sun, and rivers and waterfalls look upon her flowing, beautiful hair with nothing but envy. She lives in a pearly white castle, high and grand, and from the highest window of her keep she looks upon the vast landscape of her kingdom with a wistful sigh. Though rich and powerful she is, with all the people of the land showering her in adoration and love, she feels a sad emptiness within her heart, and ponders this as a gentle breeze caresses her cheeks, her hair, and her lips. She knows all too well from where this emptiness arises, for it is with a heavy heart she wishes for a valiant, noble prince to come rescue her from the boredom of her life, for bored she truly is. All day and night she is beset by suitors, hoping to win her hand in marriage, to love and cherish her, to carry her off to their beds and show her pleasures most erotic. And yet, not one of these men captures her eye. For you see, this princess is a very, very picky little girl. So many years of longing, dreaming, have left her with such high expectations of the man she wishes to carry her off into the sunset, and, of course, to his bed. For as romantic as she is, her mind isn't quite as liberated from dark, terrible thoughts of acts so sinful, like many of her subjects might think. Though an innocent babe, though pure as the water that flows through the streams that crisscross the land, she is no less devilish in her inner wickedness, though she. Well, she hides it with elegance, as a good princess should, One day, while receiving visitors, a strange old woman attends court, seeking to bestow upon her princess a gift. The princess, gleeful and eager to receive such a kind offering, for she is a spoilt little girl. She asks whatever it might be. The old woman, wise beyond years and moving with a creaky, slow gait, tells the princess that she is an alchemist. She informs the princess that she is masterful in the creation of magical potions and tinctures, and offers to grant the princess any one that she might desire. The princess, clapping excitedly, asks the old crone whether she might craft a potion that might aid her in finding her one true love, the man she craves, the one so handsome, strong, dashing, perhaps. This she asks of the old woman, who smiles a crooked smile and tells the giggling, excited princess that she will do as asked, and takes her leave with a shallow, creaking bow. Now, the princess, in all her eagerness to finally be with the man of her dreams, spends the rest of the day bouncing around her castle so full of glee and love, until her servants inform her of a parcel that has just arrived, which awaits her in her bedchamber. all elegance cast aside, she sprints upon sparkling shoes that cover light, giddy feet up the tallest tower of the keep, bursting into her bedroom and spying a vial resting upon her bedside table. With trembling fingers, she picks up the vial, the pink sparkling liquid within sloshing to and fro in her examination. With a smile and a thought to her hypothetical love, she pulls the cork from the top and takes a very unladylike swig of the potion and falls forward onto her bed, the vial falling to the floor, smashing into a thousand pieces upon the stone underfoot. The princess, unawares, falls into a deep, deep sleep. She awakes as night falls, the hooting of owls outside her window drifting upon a cold breeze that glides across her very, very naked body, caressing her stomach and her shoulders with its cool, gentle touch, as if with a thousand tiny kisses. Her eyes, still bleary from sleep, recognize the room, but not the dark silhouette that sits upon a chair in the corner. She raises herself, startled, and demands to know who the figure is. Her only response, a friendly, gentle laugh. The figure rises to an impressive height before stepping forward into the moonlight which illuminates his every feature. The princess's eyes grow wide in adoration and wonder at his perfection. The beauty of his face, the shape of his body, the wry smile that paints his face the colour of a wickedness most welcome. He is, she realizes, the exact man she has been waiting for. He crosses to the bed and leans over her, his lips scant inches apart from hers, so close the sweetness of his breath pours across her face and leaves her with nothing but desire in her not-so-innocent heart. His eyes glimmer in the silvery moonlight, and with one final moment of mutual adoration and longing, he leans further, slowly, and brushes her lips with his. Her mind is immediately filled with warmth, as if the very lips that now brush hers fill her with a gentle fire that leaves her with nothing but a need for more, so much so that she barely notices the hands roaming her body, fingers tracing circles around her belly button, running up her body across the curve of her breasts until empty palms find themselves full, gently squeezing while groaning into her mouth, his lust only worsening, his lust for his beautiful, divine little princess. Eventually, though he is loath to do so, his lips pull away from her, causing her to pout in a manner that is so very, very adorable, before moving to the foot of the bed and undressing slowly, giving her a shadowed view of his naked body as he removes with some difficulty his clothing before running his hands along the silken sheets until he too lies on the bed, his head resting on the smooth skin of her thighs. With playful kisses, he moves to and fro, left and right, painting each thigh with his warm, loving lips, before moving between the two, his wicked, sly grin barely visible to her over the curve of her breasts, before the tip of his tongue finds her wet, glistening cunt. Naturally, such an act is as new as it is wonderful to her. And her back arches in pure, uninhibited pleasure as his tongue peruses the depths of her desire with confident, practiced movements that set her mind ablaze. So intense is the pleasure that races through her body that she reaches a hand down. She reaches a hand down to grab his hair, to push him deeper into her, his tongue sliding into her. Tasting her, drinking her, loving her, with every movement of the muscle buried within her. Eventually he rises from this position, sliding his body across hers until their lips, his glistening with her juices, are once again so very, very close. And with a smile, he kisses her forehead. And with a gentle and yet masculine voice, he says, "My princess, my darling, I do so very, very much love." Yet she awakens cruelly with a start. She attempts to rise, but finds her wrists are held down by cruel manacles, the likes of which she could never, ever hope to free herself from, no matter how much she struggles. Her bedchambers have been replaced with a cave, its walls lined with arcane symbols, interesting and terrifying both, and thick green moss lines the cracks in the stone. The dress she had been wearing before is gone, her shivering, naked body bare and open to the cruel wind that seems to attack her with long, cutting scratches down her chest and stomach. From behind her, she hears a dry, bitter cackle, and she cranes her neck to the side to see none other than the wise old woman who had visited her that very day. She stands over a large cauldron, stirring some hissing, bubbling mixture with a long metal spoon as she hums a tune. The princess gasps, and the old woman turns slowly, her eyes, once filled with kindness and love, now filled with a wicked, despicable malice that chills the princess to her core. She leaves the cauldron and walks slowly over to her prisoner, kicking the manacles that still very much bind her wrists, so she best not move. Her eyes seeming to crawl across the young girl's body with a mixture of hunger and hatred. She thanks the princess bitterly for her foolishness in accepting the gift, a potion she informs her captive that puts her into a very deep sleep, within which she walked while dreaming to this place and wordlessly offered herself as a captive, much, no doubt, to the surprise of her servants. She tells tells the princess that she is no alchemist, but a witch, and an evil one at that. She goes on to tell her that she plans to use the princess as a sacrifice in a dreadful and evil spell to steal both her beauty and her youth. Naturally, this terrifies the princess, who screams and wails to no avail, for no one is around to hear her cries. All the while, the witch simply cackles and lowers herself to a seated position next to her captive, who, again, is very much held down by the wrists. Though I will soon take this body as my own, I see no harm in having some fun with it, while it still, for now, belongs to you, the witch says in a dry, mocking tone. Raising a hand, she cruelly slapped the princess's thigh, causing her to whimper. Though the witch seems to spy a glimmer of pleasure in the pain, and thus twice more she spanks her, as if punishing her for an imaginary crime. She looks over the beautiful, glowing red thighs, running a fingernail cruelly over the tender flesh, and spanks a breast in response, savoring the girl's every whimper. "Do remember, dear," she says dryly, "we have all night to play this game, and at the end, you shall still be all mine." Suddenly, the loud sound of hooves can be heard from the cave entrance, echoing across the stone walls, causing the witch to snap her head to the right, her eyes narrow. She slowly rises as a horse whinnies ever so close, and the sound of footsteps can be heard growing closer and closer, until a figure appears, tall and strong, his shoulders broad, his arms holding a bow, an arrow nocked. He approaches the two cautiously, the arrowhead pointed directly at the witch. "I heard the cries. What are you doing to this young girl?" he demands. "None of your damned business," replies the witch. "Now begone, fool, before I make you regret your coming here tonight." Seemingly unfazed by the threat, he takes another step closer, and the witch grits her teeth in anger. Before the man can speak once more, the old woman, with a speed neither of the residents of the cave would have foreseen, draws a knife with a wicked edge from the folds of her robes and dashes towards the man. With a slow, elegant movement, the man releases the held arrow, which flies true and buries itself in the chest of the old, wicked witch, knocking her onto her back, where she falls dead, with one final dry croak, dropping the knife with a clatter of steel on stone. The man, his features now illuminated by the dripping candles which fill the cave, kneels next to the naked princess, placing a palm gently against her cheek, and looks down upon her with a kindness she had never thought she would see again. He says, "My dear, are you all right? Let me free you from these ghastly bindings." He begins to search the cave, ensuring he never leaves her sight, eventually searching the dead old witch's person, looking for a key. Hanging from a twisted, rusty chain around her neck, he quickly unlocks the manacles, finally freeing her wrists. Good girl. Allowing her to throw her arms around his neck and embrace him tightly, kissing his cheek eagerly, so grateful is she to be free of such a terrible jailer. As she pulls away to truly look upon her saviour, she notes with a curious joy that, though he is far different from the dream-born man from her sleep, he is no less handsome. Perhaps, she thinks, as she gazes deep into his dark, mysterious eyes, more so, in fact. With her arms still wrapped tight around his neck, he lifts her from the cold, moist stone floor and to his horse, a fine brown beast which they both ride back to her castle, her sat before him, one hand of his on the reins, another pressed gently but firmly against her stomach, his cloak around her form, warming her somewhat against the chill with the warmth of his chest against her back. Though all was not well back at the castle, for though she had, she believed, found a man she could love and who would love her in return, a terrible sickness did soon overcome her. The royal doctors who oversaw her health believed it was a side effect of the terrible potion the witch had tricked her into drinking, and could offer no possible solution. With no hope in sight, bedridden and filled with despair, she calls her noble and gallant saviour to her bed. The man, not willing to lose such a precious, fragile creature to some sickness, tells her that he believes he has seen a similar malady before, and he may know of a cure. But she must trust him in all that he does, to which she says she does, and urges him to give her what she needs. To this end, the man eagerly undresses, his face mired with a mixture of hope and urgency. He climbs onto the bed and pulls his long, hard cock from his breeches. The princess's eyes widen at the sight, and subconsciously her mouth opens as if in a trance, and the man slides his length into her mouth, finding her tongue, which licks the tip and caresses him as he feeds himself deeper into her mouth, groaning in pleasure at the increasing energy of her movements as well as her eagerness to take more of him, much more, until he finds himself thrusting into her warm, wet mouth. So desperate is he to give her the only thing that he believes may cure her of the sickness that threatens to steal him from her and her from him. Much to his immense joy, life soon seems to slowly return to her body. Color begins to once again show in her skin, and just as one hand rises to stroke his shaft and cup his balls, the fonts of her much-needed cure, so does another glide across his stomach to find her clit, which she begins to massage gently at first before much more passionately, aggressively, as if, as is the case, her very life depends on it. It is too long during this act that the man's body begins to tremble, and the princess's eyes grow wide, and just as the man spasms in ecstasy and love for his princess, he grabs her by the back of the head and forces his cock into the back of her mouth, and shoots his hot, thick cum down her throat, feeding it to her, a much needed medicine. Watching her trembling as she slides the length from her greedy little fucking mouth and licks it clean with her long, wet tongue, savoring every drop before he collapses next to her onto the bed. Finding her lips and kissing her passionately, reaching a hand down to find her wet, warm, tight little cunt, urging her to come for him, come for him, for me, come now. Until she too is racked with ecstasy and returns his kisses with a gleeful, grateful manner. For she knew, as the malaise that had plagued her for so long had finally lifted, her salvation granted not by the man she had dreamed of, but by the man who had saved her life not once, but twice, and whom she truly had fallen in love with. And they both lived happily ever after. The end. Now, be a good girl and go to sleep. Good night, my